God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Hallelujah! Praise God! I'm so happy to be here today. I thank the Lord for opening the door to give me an opportunity to be a witness. You know, the scripture says in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, I'm just a messenger. I'm just sharing what I've seen the Lord done in front of me. And that's a picture of me when I was a little kid in Malaysia. So, but the scripture says that Mark chapter 6 verse 7, and they call unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirit. So the Lord has sent me and my wife Tricia. We have the opportunity to go to about 82 nations altogether and all the states of the United States. So we thank the Lord. About 13 years ago, I was let go by my company. And I said, we'll try to become full-time missionaries. So we went to Australia to start to minister. And now it's 13 years. We haven't gone back to work. So it is fun, I tell you, to serve the Lord. So Tricia, will you come up to share some of your experiences?
It's really good to be here. We're really excited to be here because we had connections that were very unusual to be right here at this time. And so this is one of the highlights of my experiences in the 13 years, because when the Lord sends us out, it's so unique and so intricate that we end up where we are, that we never even have to doubt that we're doing exactly what he asked us to do. And so we say, well, here we are. It's not a massive church. It's not hundreds of people. And none of that matters. What matters is that each one of us are doing what he has called us to do. He says his yoke is easy and light. He's not putting heavy burdens on us. We're supposed to enjoy this wonderful life that he's given us and to facilitate it on earth as it is in heaven. And so we go from the base of how is it in heaven, how is Jesus doing things, and then we just go simply along. And so our stories are extraordinary. I'm not going to go into a long detailed story about how we got here, but let you know for sure that from the north, the south, the east, the west, the Lord has brought us right here at this time to be with you people, because whatever reasons, whatever he's mixing up in his kingdom pot of stew, you are significant. He told me that he will be visiting you in special ways in the word, and you know, whatever his special ways are, I don't know, to each one of you, but he says this group of people are significant, and that this is why he's celebrating you right now. And so let God be glorified, and enjoy. Let's enjoy being together.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So prayers is so important. I was here some time ago and with Tent America, and we were praying, and you know, we just pray at the Capitol in Vermont. And then I had a dream. My dream was amazing. You know, after all those prayers by so many of us, the Lord showed me there was a supersonic jet landing on Vermont along one of the interstate. It was coming down straight. It was very fast. And as it was landing, all these boulders were flying away. They're flying away. And it landed. So I think what the Lord is doing is that it's opening the highways for his angels to come down to start to impact Vermont. And it all started with us all praying. You know, we just start praying. And about a couple of days ago, I prayed someone called me and said, Bob, this person really needs prayer badly. So he said, I do not know them, but I said, all right, I'll pray for them. I prayed for them, and now I just got a text, and he said, miracles. Tony and I went to Duke for his follow-up with the neurosurgeon regarding his recent brain bleeding. The doctor said Tony had the very best outcome possible with the brain bleeding. The doctor literally said it was a miracle. You know, so prayer does help. And what you guys just did, you know, we also do deliverance, and we integrate demons. And a lot of times the demons told us we hate that grandmom. We can't do anything because the grandmom prays or the mother prays for the son or the daughter. So it is effective. And so today I'm going to show some of the mission trip that we have been around the many nations. God's Little Brown Church, I like that. You know, one day I went to Alaska. I flew from New York to Anchorage, from Dillingham, and then I took another small airplane and landed on a piece of ice in a little town called Atkatsut. And when I show up at the church, it was all frozen. It was like negative 50 degrees. And there was about 7 or 8 people down there. So that was the God's little frozen white church. It doesn't matter about the size. You know, God tell us to go. You are my witness. It is the assignment that we accept. You know, people say, why would you spend so much money to fly to that? I say, because God told me to do that. Here I am. Send me. And I went. Tricia and I went to the dot, a little dot in the Pacific. You fly to Honolulu, Hawaii, and you catch another trip to the equator. There's a group of islands called Republic of Kiribati. And the island was called Christmas Island. And it was amazing. When we arrived there, we were surprised that that church didn't have missionaries for how many years? Tricia, can you come? Yeah, could you come and just share a little bit about that?
So that church didn't have anybody visit it for 35 years. And they had 5 tribes of people, and they met us with a grand reception, which we weren't prepared for. And they had a truckloads of people coming in for this beach luau thing. And we didn't know that all this was going to happen. And each tribal leader got up and they said who their identity was. All the people had their own identifying clothes. They were all Christians, and we had a beach party, and we just were there for a week because only the planes come in once a week, and it cost us a lot of money to get there, but the whole, like I said, when we know we're supposed to do it, we're just as free as birds because He is the provider. And it's not all. It's never the amount of the money. It's always, what is He saying? Are we going to do it or not? And so years for years, Bob's saying, we have to go to Christmas Island. And I'm like, you know, it's not in my head. So I'm like, okay, I just agree with him. And then when he said it was time to go, I felt the movement of the Holy Spirit. So we ended up going to Kiribati in Christmas Island. And it was significant again. You know, just another one of those. It's His plan and His purpose, not ours. But may He be glorified. Anything else? Was there something I...
Yeah. So Christmas Island, I told my wife when we got married, we're going to this little dot here.
Say that.
So, and then finally, many years later, I connected with somebody with the Republic of Kiribati. So I wanted to practice Mark 16:15 to go ye into all the nations. So I want to like mark one at a time. And I said, all right. So I talked to the guy on Facebook. I said, hey, I'm coming to your island to like, could you help me to set up things to preach. He said, yeah, no problem, come. So I bought the airplane ticket, so it comes to like almost $7,000 for just to fly there. But he told me that, Bob, you're flying to the wrong airport. I said, what? He said, you got to change your airplane. That cost you $1,000. I said, no, I couldn't. Do you have another brunch? He said, yeah, we have another brunch. That island is called Christmas Island. That was amazing, you know.
That was the right island.
Yeah, that was the right island.
It was the connection to the right island.
It was
so. And all we could do is laugh about it, you know, because
I didn't believe that, you know, it was so beautiful. That island is so remote. We went to minister to the people. They have how many churches come together?
Five
churches. Oh, yeah, okay. And we also went to visit some of the islands. They have bird sanctuary. Now, for the first time, the birds are not afraid of humans because they don't see much human, so we are not a threat. So the frigate gulls, they were nesting on a net, on their nest, and I could touch them and all that. It was amazing, and there was so much fish, and I like fishing. Oh, it was good fishing. But
scoot along.
Yeah. So it was very good. Yes, okay. And we were guided by some of the wildlife people over there. And while he was driving us to this little island, he was talking to me about, do you believe that houses can be haunted and this and that? I said, yeah, it could be. So that. And I had such a great time on the island that I overstayed 3 hours. So he told me, Bob, I got to bill you. I got to contact my boss to bill you for the 3 hours of my time. And I told him, I said, you mentioned that you had some problems with some spirits in your house. He said, yeah, I'm the fourth tenant that live in that house. All the last three moved out because this ghost that was in there, this boring earth. He said, I make a deal with you. I come to your house and I'll say my prayer and we'll, you know, wash up. You don't bill me for the 3 hours. So I went in, I spoke to that spirit. I went inside the house. I took authority. I plead the blood of Christ and I command those foul thinking ill spirit. You know, you are given an eviction notice. I command you all to leave right now in Jesus' name. You know what happened after that? No more incidents of that spirit. So, you know, we are given the authority, you know, this over all the spirit. And I'm a practicing Christian, so whatever I read, I say, oh, let me practice. I'm trying to practice Mark 16:15. Took me so many years, you know. We know it, we memorize it, but you got to do it, practice it. So I'm going to show you some pictures. So, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. So when I was a boy, young boy in the jungles of Malaysia, my dad loves hunting, he loves fishing, and somebody who was trained in the United States as a missionary came to approach me and tell me about Jesus. And that's how I come to receive Christ. That was many years ago, June 10, 1978, I was a little kid. My dad hunts and he likes fishing and he doesn't know Christ. So anyway, that's my dad in front and I was at the little boy there. And he hunts for elephant, tiger, deer, all kinds of things. And one day I was in the jungle hunting. I was there and my dad said, go to the trunk. I forgot my bottle water. So I went, I started walking out of the jungle along the path. And there was a big rock. And behind the big rock appears a big tiger. The tiger came out. The tiger looked at me and I look at the tiger. I tell you, look at a tiger or a lion's eye. It's very scary because they look at you, that you know. And I stopped. And the tiger was happy because it was breakfast time. And I was just a little boy. Mm-hmm. And so, fortunately, the scripture said, go ye into all and preach to all scripture. This tiger was preached by some missionary, and it was a Christian tiger. Before he ate me, the tiger say a prayer. He put his hand together and said, Father and Father, I thank you for this juicy, delicious breakfast. And I thank you that you know I like Chinese food, you know. He said, but boom, the Lord spoke and he said, no, you can't eat babku. He said, Father, but what, why not? He said, because I'm going to use God one day to go to this church in Vermont called God's Little Brown Church. Hallelujah. See, if you have a purpose, your assignment, you will never die. You know, you will keep on doing that. So, and I tell you, when I was first a Christian, I did not know much. All I want is about me, me, me. I pray God get me out of Malaysia because it's a Muslim country. I want to go to England. And you know, God answered my prayer. And then I graduated. And then I said, God, I want a job. I don't go back to Malaysia. And then he offered me a job in the United States. That's how I came here in 1984. And then, you know, God, I want a wife. God, I want a car. God, I want a house. You know, it's about me, 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 me. Until a wake-up call, you know. About 2001, I start to realize that. You know what? I've been like a little bird. I was observing some robin birds in a nest, you know. I noticed that these little birds, every time the parents come back, they open their mouth. The father come back, they say, me, I want food. And I put a spy camera on that bird to see what they do. I was surprised that the parents not only feed them, but actually clean them, you know. And they were growing bigger, and they were growing bigger, and they were growing bigger until their feathers, full flesh, looks almost bigger than the parents. But they are still like the parent, father come, me. And I was looking, I said, why would father still feed these big birds, you know? So then I thought about myself, you know what? All these years, I was a growing Christian, but I was like those little baby birds, me. I did nothing for the kingdom of God, zero. I did zero, until one day God kicked me off the nest and I found that I could fly and I could do something. So I learned my lessons, you know. If we have sit around too long, we got to do something, you know, for the Lord. So, and I started reading scriptures and memorizing, and then, you know, I remember one day I ran in front of the church. He said, those who want to be used by God, come up. So I went up there. He said, raise your hand. He said, I want you all to shout, here I am, Lord, send me. I will go. I prayed that, you know, guess what happened? No, it's 82 nations later. I tell you, when you pray, God does something, okay, but you have to volunteer. You have to ask God, you know, and I did. And I've been to many nations, but one very significant nation I've been to was proselyte nation of Bhutan. Bhutan has a population of 777,000, about 500 people, and 99.3% are non-Christian. So I was excited. You know what? I would just land in that country. I would talk to anybody about Jesus. And so I caught a plane. It was wonderful, I tell you. I'll show you a little bit on video. I think let me turn on my sound system. So I flew from Connecticut. Went to Middle East, Doha, and then fly from Doha. And I landed in Kathmandu, catch the next plane, Royal Bhutan Airlines. First class, I tell you, God is so good. I cried during the flight. It was so beautiful. The
the highest peak of the world. You know, I got
the opportunity to go to those places.
Yeah,
singing in
Bhutanese. Bolenko Chiro 주루 월체 가지라 주루라 마켄 쪼노 뒤땐 자대야.
That's really one of the aims of the earth that I've been to there. There are many of them. When a missionary came to tell me about Jesus, it's my turn now to go and reach out to souls. They are lost. They do not know Jesus. Some of us got to do it. So I said, here I am, Lord. Send me. I managed to connect with the underground church down there and I ministered. They were worshipping and coming to the presence of God. Because it's illegal, there are churches over there. And the presence of God was so strong and it was so beautiful. Matthew 24:14. The gospel needs to be preached to all a witness, all the nation as a witness, and then the end will come. So each and all one of us got to do something. You know, you want to go to Bhutan, do something locally, do something in Vermont, do something in New York. Trisha and I went to, I brought Trisha to places that she said, how come I'm the only white person here? I told you, we are no longer in New York City, honey. So we were in this ferry. We had a little van. We have to drive on two planks to go onto that ferry to cross the Bhumiputra River. It takes faith to drive over there, and it was wonderful. It was the border of Connecticut, what do you call it, border of Trisha, can you come over here please? Thank you. Yeah, why don't you tell something about this, what happened over there? Yep.
Okay, I will tell you something that happened over there. That was in the zero marker. It was at Assam, and then it was north of Assam. And we drove like hours to the border of Tibet, China, and it's a contended area. And it's quite dangerous for Christians. And so on our way leaving, we did all kinds of stuff with churches and orphanages and stuff. But on our way leaving, we were in a three-seater, and a young man sat next to us, young being like 40-something. But you could tell he was military. And I was like, this is interesting, right? So I'm out by the window, and Bob is here, and this guy is there. And so I'm like, Then I hear Bob chatting him up. But he's not talking about, I've never heard Bob talk about, how do you know a true Christian from one that's not a real Christian? And I'm like, okay, that's the Holy Spirit, because I've never heard Bob have that discussion before. So Bob went into these scriptures, opened up his Bible, and was showing him the difference between a real Christian and a non-real Christian, because in India, the percentages of Christians, real Christians, whatever the denomination, is very, very low, And then there's these weird groups coming in that are doing bad things, really bad things, saying that they're Christian, but they're not. But we hardly knew any of that stuff, right? So toward their Holy Spirit-led conversation, the guy said, explains to Bob that I am the chief investigative officer of this region because these people that are saying they're Christians are murdering people. And he had pictures.
They're like terrorists. That's what they consider us as terrorists.
They were terrorists. And he was investigating to see if we were a part of that group. And we're so cool because the Holy Spirit is just flowing through us. So we're just like two little chickens. Blah, blah, blah. You know, nothing is affecting us. So, but now the weaving is for this guy, for his soul and for the information that he needs. So we give him whatever information we can. But before this, 3 weeks before that, I have a little New Testament that I have illustrated on, written all my favorite scriptures about, and have details of certain subjects right in the front. So Bob needed to go to the restroom, but just before Bob went, this guy said, I keep having these dreams, and I don't know what they mean. And then Bob said, my wife can maybe able to help you with your dreams. Interpretation. But the Lord told me weeks before that my little Bible that I had carried around for years, that I was going to get ready to give it to somebody. And I just said, okay, I'm happy to give it, but just let me give it to the right person. So Bob went to the restroom. I sat next to him. I opened up my thing, and I explained to him the dream illustration that I wrote on the cover was a picture. And I explained to him how I could see it. And then I told him how he could hear from the Lord, because the Lord wants to talk to this man to lead him and to guide him into truth so he can have impact in that whole region. And so through that, and then I said, and I explained to him how the Lord told me I would be giving the Bible. He said, I can't take it. I said, no, the Lord told me weeks ago that it was for somebody special and I was to give it to you. And I gave it to him. And he said, I can't take your contacts. I have no information. All of my stuff is already, they have everything I have, so I have nothing of your information. He said, but I have this book, and I will read it.
Yes.
So after we finished ministering in Arunachal Pradesh, which is the more northern part with the border of China, we were up there, and in fact, the people looked Chinese, but they speak Hindi. And then we flew to the eastern part, northeastern part, Rajahmundry, and we went to some remote villages. And we built about 15 clean water wells over there, installed, and they welcomed us. We were shocked, you know, how they honor, because I think the Hindu people, they honor their priests very well. So when they saw us ambassadors, they regard us as ambassadors. Now, Tricia and I are just like you guys. I didn't go to seminary school or anything like that. I just decided, here I am, God, use me. And we are probably God's little ambassadors of Christ, you know. And we just went, but we were shocked when we went. Tell what happened at the airport.
So we're going to a remote area. We were in connection with a man who was an apostle, and he was over a regions of a vast region, like hundreds of miles, right? But he had his whole life, he was seeding churches. So we went to a very remote little airport, and, you know, we're not thinking anything. And when we came out of the door, there were 300 people standing there, and then the police came to wanted to know what was going on. And it was people from all around that were the Christians from this whole region drove hours to meet us at the airport. They weren't going to go to the destinations that we were going to go to. They were just going to meet us and greet us. And you're just like, what? And that's where they were putting things on us. And,
the lace that they put, there's so much. They put like maybe 30 of them on top. Each pastor come and put one.
And what it was is these people need the Lord. They are so hungry. They know when you go to China and they see us, they know that we're not from there. And then they'll talk to us in whatever language they talk to us. And Bob always has a thing, will you take our picture? And they always say yes. And then we ask them if we could give them a blessing. We lead them to the Lord. They repeat after us in English. The Holy Spirit could feel fall on them. They'll start crying because they know the weight of God's glory. And you're like, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who could do it. We don't have to. We think we have to do all this. We just have to be obedient. He's in light, right? And so that one over there with the little king queen thing going on, this pastor brought us. He knew because he was in and out of his area. He went to the United States. He made sure we didn't eat bad food to make us sick. He kept us. He fed us only good food. He took us everywhere with escorts to keep us protected. And but he didn't tell us that he went to court for 3 or 6 months to let us to go into that and have a crusade. And he said, now I just want you to know, don't be, if there's like army people with machine guns, don't worry. We've already cleared it with the court that you could be there. And I'm like, goodbye, we just good. So, okay, and but the service went great. And then after that, 3 or 4 years after that, we sent the Cadeaus there. This guy is like a Holy Spirit Southern boy, fire revival fire guy, so he could really give the message. Remember, David Cordell went there, and they had never been treated like that before either, and that guy has been all over the world doing stuff. So, but this is the last thing, because it says signs, miracle signs and wonders will follow those that believe. Okay, so he had us in a compound, you know, walls and bricks and everything. But when we got there, they had taken in yellow mom's flowers, and they wrote, welcome from the USA, Bob and Tricia Koo. Wow. In the mums, on the ground, in the sun, right? Now, how long does a flower last in the sun in India? How many days, hours, minutes, right? When we were leaving, and then the people were acting creepy around us. I'm like, why is everybody like scurrying around? Well, when we left, those yellow mums were still like they just put them on the ground. We were there for at least 7 days. They sat in the sun, and they didn't start browning until we left. Crazy, right? A miracle, signs, and wonders. It's a simple thing. And, you know, we're embarrassed. We're not used to like, oh, welcome, you know, all that stuff. But they honored the Lord, and the Lord let them see that miracle. You know that people talk about that. Is that it, honey?
Excellent. And we strategically installed the clean water well at a pastor's house. Every pastor would have a well, so that all the villagers that come or new people moving, they all got to go and see the pastor for clean water. You know, it's a very good evangelical tool. Because they all have a need, and then you know you got to talk to that guy, and he tell them about Jesus.
And they had no access to clean water; they were drinking the muddy river water.
And we went to the Humiliation Bible College over there, and we were teaching them how to heal the sick and stuff. And some of the churches that we minister it, they have all kinds of things. This is an underground church, and those are the trucks. And we're teaching the little kids how to lay hands. And here is a church. And that's how they worship. They have a big loudspeaker. When the service is on, the whole village got to hear the message. Oh, it's good. And I noticed that everybody is engaged in worship when they are worshiping. You know, Fisher and I are just ordinarily Christian, like you guys. You know, I study computer science. You know, she did a little business, and we said, "Here we are, we go." And we went to many places, and things start to open up. We preach about healing, about deliverance, and next thing, God opened up our hearts to minister. in a stadium in Uganda. I tell you, I'm just like, I'm not one of those power preachers. Every of the speakers like boom, boom, boom. So me and my wife, we stand up. We talk about the healing Jesus. And then I say, now who of you are sick? I want you to raise your hand. And then I stand up, okay? Now I'm going to pray and speak a healing over your bodies. And we speak over those people in that stadium. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Now I'm moving around. Now, those people that have all the pain that stood up, I want you to bring up both your hands if you have lost the pain and you feel that you've been healed. There were 300 people healed. So those pastors said, Bob, you got faith. You can do it like that. I said, I do not know. That's all I know. You know, just so it was very good. Big crowds and all that. But I've realized that it's not about the crowd. It's about assignment. Really, if God calls me to go, you know, Pakistan, there are thousands and there are 50,000. They call me, come and speak, Bob. You know, we only need $6,000, $7,000. I say, I don't pay people to come to listen to me. You know, I go there to preach the gospel. So sometimes it may not sound very good because it's like you're trying to take a picture in front of a big crowd of people. He says, watch me, how important I am. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. So we went to Bhutan, Tibet, the border of Tibet. It was really, really windy. The bus driver was a kamikaze driver, I tell you. and the hills and all that. But finally we reached these people and we start to minister to them. And you know, how do you do that? He says, these guys, I went over there, I said, hey, I'm looking for Jesus. Do you know where Jesus lives? He said, Jesus, who? You know, we have a infrared. He said, who, Jesus, who? I said, you don't know Jesus? Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, that's how you start a conversation, you know. You ask them something. And they had never seen a white person. And we started talking. And we started to tell, you know what? This is all you have to do. Say a prayer with me. I open their mouth. You know, what's the scripture they say? Call upon the Lord and you'll be saved. So what we can do is that we can plant a seed into them. You know, they say, Jesus, you know, we believe that, you know, you died on the cross and so forth. And then say, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come to our, and stuff like that. And I remember we were at a hotel room down there, and there was two of the homemakers came inside. And we led them to the Lord, at the presence of God. So, you know, it was like so heavy. We were just leading them to the Lord. They are, you know, it's just like, wow. Because those are very dark regions of China, Tibet.
They say that Tibet is one of the darkest places in the world. Not that the people are evil at all. We're not saying that. But as far as so far removed from any understanding of Christ. So, but they're very spiritual people. So we had, after the bus ride, the 12-hour kamikaze bus ride, I said, I will never get on another bus again. And not in China. And we will have to find another way to get back. So we found a Chinese cab driver, and we hired him for days. And we had a young man who was a Bible student, and he did the interpretation, and also he wrote us into hostels, youth hostels, because you had to have his signature on that. But we told the Tibetan that we didn't want to go to all the high places. We just wanted to go where the Lord sends us. That we weren't there to take over the nation, you know. We were just there to simply be led by the Lord. And this guy took us to these temples so we could pull the people off the prayer wheels. He dragged his friends over to us so we could pray for their healing. No kidding. We are. The monks came to us to pray for their healing. And then he took us to a homestead, a castle, a big old castle that was 2,000 years old, that the family was still living in it. And then the family took us through all the castle, and then we prayed for they asked us to pray for them in their prayer room with all the flags. And We just, and Bob was like, should we be, and we said, the man asked us to pray. We can pray. And so we just prayed. It's pretty wild, right? Easy?
I said, prayers like that. Okay, repeat after me. Let them all
the
open their mouth to call Jesus, you know, to, and all that. It was so funny. You know, they didn't know, you know. You know what? If we open their mouth and you call upon the Holy Spirit, you know, God will hear their
heart.
You know, they will come to them.
He says, call on to me and I will hear you and answer you.
Yes.
Now, the funny thing of how we land up in that Tibetan village is that it's way up. Is that before we went for the mission trip in China, it was a very interesting thing. In China, to go into there, you need a visa. To get a visa, I have to contact with a group of people who were running a medical missions, okay? And I used to minister at a Yale where all the PhD people, I taught them about healing. I told them I have a PhD, mine is slightly different. It takes only 1 year to get your PhD and yours is 6, 7, 8 years. I told them mine is called Preaching, Healing and Deliverance, so I was coaching them. And they connected me with this ministry in Kunming, China. And so the leader was not there, so they sent us an invitation letter. We got all those, a rush to the China embassy, got our visa. I was so happy. And then the leader came back and said, what are you going to come to help us? He said, well, we're going to preach the gospel, heal the sick. He said, well, you can't do that. If you do that, you get us all kicked out of China. So I'm sorry, I can't, you know, but we already got a visa. I said, to Tricia, let's go, you know, I don't care. You know, God was going to open us up some doors for us. So we went, we flew to Hong Kong, and we ministered down there. God opened a number of churches and so forth. And then I took a train up to Guangzhou, and then came back, and then I flew to Kunming. But while I was flying down there, I found out that somebody took account of my bank account, credit card, debit card, and started spending money in Virginia. So the Bank of America canceled my card. So I have money, but I have no access to it. Now I'm stuck in China. And so I sent an email to all these Chinese graduates. I said, do you know of anybody in Kunming that could help me out? Because, you know, the Bank of America wouldn't send your debit card to China in the village. So, and he said, oh, we know a friend, you know, we know a friend. He's a missionary. He teaches English for like 8 years in Kunming. He teaches English, but he's an underground pastor too. So I said, great. And also we contacted him and he said, come, I will have someone, one of my students come to pick you up at the airport in Kunming. So now before we left, the Lord been speaking to us and said, Kunming, Kunming, Kunming. Oh no, we both agree. But then my wife told me, Bob, the Lord saying Chengdu. I said, no, I don't hear anything Chengdu. I don't know what you're hearing, you know.
So for 3 months,
she was telling me Chengdu.
Chengdu. And I didn't know anything. I didn't even look it up. We were so busy. But he was only going to go himself.
So anyway,
honey, we have to hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
When we arrived there, we met this missionary. He said that I will take care of your airplane tickets and everything while you're in China, but pay me back when you're done. So it's good. And they asked me where we're from. I said, we're from Connecticut. So I asked him where you're from. He said, I am from Conyers, Georgia. I was born in Conyers, Georgia. My jaw just dropped because I just finished preaching at Conyers, Georgia. And then I go to China. Is this a coincidence? That is a sign and a wonder, you know. You see how of 1.2 billion people, God sent you the person that was born in the town that you left
a day,
last
2 days
preaching.
Before, Conyers, Georgia.
And then he told me, you know, Bob, for many years I wanted to go to this most darkened region of China, Tibet. He said, you got to go there and pray. I wanted to go there. I couldn't, and this and that. He said, in order to go there, you have to fly to Chengdu. I just like, my wife been telling me Chengdu all this while. I said, yes, we will go. We will go. Because, you know, so we flew, and that's how we landed to minister there. And it was a pretty dangerous a route to go up there by train, by a bus, and then by a taxi, and then we rent a motorbike. You know, we go up to the on top above the temples and pray over the region and start to decree and pray over that region. So, yeah. And another time when we were coming back out of that, there was this big convoy of like 1,000 Chinese Republic Army, because it's contested area. We were sandwiched and there was a landslide that closed that road, and we got to catch the airplane. But because we were in the with the people, yeah, the convoy of Chinese People's Republic Army, it was an emergency. They plowed. So I took the opportunity to talk to this, you know, this communist soldiers, you know, talk to them and took picture with them and this and that. And I showed it to some of my Chinese friends. You crazy? You say what you do? I said, oh, that's my opportunity, you know. So it was very, very fun. Let me go fast because I know I already spent some time. These were some of the people down there. That's how they look. We ministered to them. They wear cowboys and they have horses. And when I was here, Tricia and I was driving and we saw, oh, wow, look, garage sale, 241 Blue Rocks Road, no early birds. I said, let's go and check it out, you know. So we drove inside. We start buying little things, and that one little thing that I bought, you know, faith is daring the soul to go beyond what the eyes can see. We bought it from there, you know. So I'm telling you, you guys, we all have to have faith. Go beyond what you can see. Go and do the things. Because the things that you do that's beyond your eyes range is accomplished by God. Now we can do things by ourselves, but you know, so. All right. So we travel all over here and there. We were at the southernmost point, and then I came over. I drove almost 2,000 miles to come up here. All total, you know, stop in between and so forth. And one time with Tricia and I was in Key West, and the Lord called us to go to the most northern tip of Alaska. And we went there. It was very cold. We did not know anybody. We just went there. We just asked around, and somehow we bumped to a pastor that opens the church, and he let me preach. And after I finished preaching, he said, can you stay longer, Bob? I said, I got to fly back down. He said, don't worry about that. We have a 5-bedroom parsonage that you can use. We have a Chevy Suburban, and we're going to give you a credit card you use and eat any food you want. And then we're going to pay for your airfare to fly home. So, you know, there was a stranger. He opened up all these things for us because he saw that we came over there to minister to the Eskimos, and we've been there like 5 times, and every year we lead the Arctic Revival Fire Conference over there. This is how, you know, I put their parka and wear. It was very cold, and I fly on one of the planes. This was a very amazing. I was going to one of the little villages, and when I landed there, I had to take a bush plane. When I boarded the plane, the pilot said, where I'm from? I said, I'm from, at that time I was in West Hartford. He said, oh, I got my license from Hartford. He said, and, you know, I flew like 18 hours, and I arrived, meet this pilot. He's from my place, okay? And I told him, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be a pilot, but I didn't qualify my eyeglasses and all that. He told me, Bob, today you're going to help me fly the plane. You know, God's, you know, it's amazing. God knows the desire of your heart. You know, you want to do something. So it was a 2-person, and she taught me how to fly that thing and land that in a couple of villages, you know. And for the first time, I walk on water because the Arctic Ocean was frozen, you know. And we were so nice. We were flying over there, these things. And this place, that was in a remote place. I had to take this little plane to fly. Someone told me there was a revival. I said, you know, if I go there, would you let me preach? She said, Bob, just go. So I went, I took a plane, couple trains, I arrived at this thing, and they said, oh, you're from United States. Oh, yeah, sure, come on, speak. You know, normally that church got 5 people showed up. But during the revival, 50 persons show up for 21 nights straight. Amazing. You know, so. And obviously, they asked me, Bob, you want to have some quick food. I say, yeah, what do you have to do? He said, I want to catch some fish and cook some fish. I say, I jump on the boat and we were going up and the boat and the clouds were coming. It was getting cold. It's the two native down there say, oh, we got to be careful. We get stuck if the snow starts coming down. So I said, don't worry. Let me show you what I do. I speak to the cloud. I say, in the name of Jesus, by the power that I speak to you, cloud, I command you to open up. Open up in Jesus' name. So as we're going up the stream, the cloud moved and sunlight started to come out. And these two will say, wow, wow, wow. And then when we arrived at the pond, they throw the net like that. And we had a whole pile of fish in about 10 minutes. It's my turn. Wow, wow, wow. You know, they wow me and I wow them. It was so, so wonderful, you know. It was very cold. We were praying over there, the most northern tip of the United States. And my wife was looking for polar bears. And, you know, this is our car. It was so cold. And, in the summertime, we went there, the sun does not set. In the wintertime, the sun does not rise. And this car we were using normally is at like 30 miles a gallon, is a Ford Contour. But up there, it only can drive 13 miles because it's so cold. And we preached to all those people, you know, and those are all these Eskimo people, we were, you know, doing revival. And then after that, every year, for the last 5 years, we've been doing Alaska 10 Revival, Arctic Revival Conference. I organized, bring people up there, and we did it. So, and we, you know, people teach me, what do you do? I teach healing and stuff. You know, all these Eskimo, they are interested in healing. So I tell you, you know that your shadow can heal the sick? They say, what? You say, yeah, you do not know about that. I said, oh, well, we all down in the Southern 48 say, we all know about that. I said, oh, yeah, show me. So I started teaching them how to heal using the shadow. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them out on beds and couches, and at least a share of people passing by fall on them, and they were healed. So I said, you know, I'm a practicing Christian. Let us practice. You know, and it's not only I can do it. I said, you can do it. But, you know, the reason why you haven't done it, seen it, is because you haven't done it. You got to practice, you know. We are practicing Christians, so let's practice. So we brought out a sick person. We have a projector and a light we ought to send. And then I used one of their people, their shadow, as they walk. The shadow touched them, and they were healed. Now, so same thing in all the reservations that we've been to, you know, in Samoa, in Fiji Islands, we're teaching how to heal using your shadow. This was in the Fiji, a Bible college, we're teaching all the people how to heal using your shadow. Now, this one is in the Arctic. Well, I that's what I do when I teach them how to heal using your...
Oh, yes, good. Hallelujah. I just walked past this cow. Wow, Jesus is great.
So, that person is a bad addict. I was teaching them to walk.
You know,
Jesus, the shadow to touch them.
Now, just say thank you, Jesus. Now, ask her, what happened to the pain in the head? What happened to the pain in your head? What happened to your head? Where's the headache? Tell us.
The headache just disappeared after the shadow touched them. You know, the first time I did it, I was in the jungles of Malaysia. I thought, wow, you know, I was in this little village. I was preaching to these native people, and I said, I'll teach you how to heal using shadow. You know, I said, in my mind, I said, well, if nothing happened, nobody in the United States knows about it, you know. But when I did it, they got healed. And that was the beginning. And now I've been to many places. I showed them. I said, it's not about me. It's about the Word of God. If you really believe in the Word of God, God will manifest. You know, Jesus said, I can't do much because of the unbelief of the people. So, but anyway, I'm going to go very quickly. That was my first crusade that I did in 2005. I did not know nothing. I was following a woman, a preacher, and she introduced me to going to the nations. And now, three things I learned about the Bible. three things I read Jesus did. He preached, he taught, he healed, he cast out demons, and occasionally he even raised the dead. So Jesus' ministry, as you see in Matthew 4:23, he ran about Galilee teaching the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And next thing is that then Jesus went about all the city and villages, teaching the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. And he preached, you know, and so forth. So wherever Jesus go, he not only preached, but he healed people and he cast out demons. So, and you see Mark chapter 1. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus answered the city, go and tell John the things you have heard and see. The blind sees, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor. So I went out, I did, you know, we have seen blind eye healed. In fact, in Boston, there was one woman who was blind for 70 years in one eye, and her eye opened. In the Trail City, South Dakota, there was this cowboy. He had one blind eye. We prayed for him and he got healed. So altogether, probably 8 or 9 different blind eye people. You know, I tell you, not every blind eye that I pray, their eyes open. But they are that does, you know. So anyway, and I got video tip. This is our ministry also, and Jesus gave us the ability to do it. And when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them power on the clean spirit to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. So, you know, when I learned about healing, I went to the streets everywhere, my workplace and so, and I start seeing, you know, God healing people. I'm just a practicing Christian. People ask me, Bob, how come you pray and not everybody get healed? I say, you know what? How come your heart transport surgeon, every person you treat doesn't, you know? I say, they are called practicing physician, right? I say, yeah. So I'm a practicing Christian. Not all that I pray. I'm still practicing. I'm not a perfect Christian. So, all right, I think I have so much to show you, so many miracles and stuff like that. But I think I've taken a lot of time just talking. Should I end up real quick?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. I don't want you all to drag. Normally, in most places I go, I coach the people to pray for each other and a manifestation of healing. So he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he who believes, and so forth. And they will lay hand on the sick and they will recover. When I start going out, I start seeing more and more people getting healed. When I first started, I go to Walmart. I prayed at Walmart. I said, Lord, I want to be like you. You know, you went about healing the sick. Acts chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus went about doing good by healing the sick. I said, please send me 2 sick persons. So, and then after I walk into Walmart, I look for a pharmacy. I walk inside, all the different aisles, painkiller, I stopped there. I said, God, is this the place? And he said, location, location, location. I stand there. It didn't take long. All these people with all kinds of aches and pain come towards me because the medicine was there. And then I saw this woman pick up that medicine. I said, hey, is that good medicine? He said, yeah, it's good. I said, how long have you been using it? He said, 5 years. I said, why do you need to use it? He said, oh, I have an accident, got whiplash, my neck is painful, this and that. And he said, I said, didn't you see all the best doctors? He said, yeah, I did. He said, they told me to take painkiller. I said, you missed the world best physician. He said, who? I said, that Jewish man. He said, who? I said, Jesus. Jesus said that, you know, those who believe shall lay hands on the sick. Do you believe I pray Jesus will heal? I said, you need to take 1 minute and it's 100% money back guarantee. He said, you give me 0, I'll. So I pray for them. You know, so initially, very few people get healed, but then more and more and more people. So I exercise my spiritual authority power and I see more and more healing. And then now, you know, that I've learned so much, I know somebody taught me it's my turn to teach people around the world. And I have people now that will send me those messengers Every day they have people healing, walking. Just last year, I met this guy. He have never healed a person. He have never cast out demons. He was just also observing me doing it. He said, can you teach me? I say, I brought him out to Kmart, Walmart and all that. Now, he's better than me. He's doing so many healings. And it is very encouraging. It's like you're teaching someone how to catch a fish. And they keep on showing you pictures of the fish that they catch. You know that they have learned what you have taught them and they are successful. And I believe, you know, the church many years ago have all these giftings. Just like me, from Malaysia, my ancestors from China, when they were in Malaysia, they speak Chinese, they write Chinese, they read and write Malay, and they had no English too. So when it comes to my turn, I told my mom, I said, no, I don't want to learn Chinese, it's too difficult, I dropped that. So when I came to the United States, my kids said, I don't learn Malay, you know. So they drop. See all those gifts that they drop. I think the church has the same thing. They be used to it. But the good thing is that you can learn it. And so I learned it from someone and I start seeing healing. A lot of healings, you know. Not everybody's healed, but I'm happy that we see people that get healed. Some of them are very, very miraculous. I've seen people jump up in a wheelchair. I've seen people that was like very painful. Now I started stop hopping, and then I was in South Dakota. I was coaching these Native Americans to pray and lay hand on his brother who was blind and his eye open. You know, it's just like, it's good to see. And so for those who believe, you will see the manifestation of the Word of God. So I encourage each and every one of us to do something for the Lord. You know, the scripture say that Jesus told his disciples, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And all of us said, I'll follow you, God, I'll follow you, God. Now, if you are a fisher of men, if I'm a fisher of men, I got some fruits, you know. Let's say, example, I am a fishing boat captain. Every Sunday, I advertise, come, and a bunch of people jump to my boat. We go out fishing, and then we come back. Nothing. Go. 52 weeks. No, go. I'm not a fishing captain. I'm just a tour boat captain. Now, for us, I've been going out of the church and coming in for 52 weeks. I haven't brought a single soul to church. Now, am I following Jesus? Am I a fisher or a man? Or I'm just a tourist? So, brothers and sisters, it's very important. The Great Commission tell us that we should go out and grab a body, bring in here. Now people ask me, how do you do it, Bob? I say, simple. Take out, pray. First pray and ask God. God, I want to be a fruitful fisher of men. Help me to bring some to the kingdom of God. Say, God, help me identify. You take up your cell phone from A to Z. Albert, Betty, Charlie, David, Evelyn. Oh yeah, Evelyn. So you call Evelyn. See, on Friday you call Evelyn, this is Bob. I haven't met you for 5 years, but you last week. Oh, we'd love to meet you. I'd like to meet you with some of my friends at church, and I would like to treat you a good dinner. You know, fishermen got bait. You know, you tell them you're going to treat them some Korean food or whatever food. You know, your friend haven't seen you for years. All right, you call them up. You say, oh, you know, they forgot about coming to church. They just remember, oh, there's a meal. You know, is this how you attract them? Sometimes people need a little bit of incentive. And I go and pick them up and I bring them to church. Could you imagine every one of us bring one person here? This church is double. You know, people get a job and they move away from this place and they leave the church. We need a constant inflow of people to come into this church. And how do you do it? It's through your contact. You know, it's so much easier to bring someone that you know. You know, just bring them and bring them, and one of these days some of them will join and this place is going to grow. Now, you want revival, be the revival. Like for me, I know I'm on revival. Wherever I go, you know, and now we've been ordaining people, we've been doing this, and we are multiplying, okay? So if you focus on your own personal revival, you bring one person and get that person involved with church, you know, in getting saving souls. this place is going to grow. It is going to grow. Just focus on yourself. Do your part. Do your assignment. Okay? And God has given Pastor Andrews a big dragnet. All of us got to help pull. Because 2 or 3, 4, 5, we need all of us got to help pull this big dragnet. Because the soul in this town, this island, and this region are available. But we all have to work together, collaborate, bring in the souls. And some will be led to the Lord. And, you know, there's a reward. I believe there's a reward for us, you know, to bring to the kingdom of God. And I believe this place is going to grow. I believe, you know. But we all got to do something. Go home and pray and say, God, help me identify person I can bring to church. Every Friday call, go through it, bring someone in, and love them. And when someone new comes, all of you go and greet them, love them. You know, we have been to church, but nobody wants to talk to us. That's ridiculous. You know, you need to show some love. So let me close it by prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share, Father Lord, that this congregation of people are fishes of men, and they are going to reach out, Father Lord, because you have told them to do so. I pray that you will dispatch ministering angel to each and every member here, every church. I pray, Father Lord, that you will dispatch a revival angels to be based in this church, Father Lord. And Father Lord, we pray too, Father Lord, that you will send souls to this place, and that this place will grow, it will double, and Father Lord, it will go to beyond 50. We are speaking 500-person church here. And Father, nothing is impossible with you. And we thank you, Father Lord, for what you're about to do.
Hallelujah.
To this congregation, to this church, to this town, to this island, to Vermont. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.